If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And the Bible says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." I want to preach for a few minutes tonight, and it seems like the music and everything's leading this way on getting out of the wilderness. Getting out of the wilderness. Amen? We need to get out of the wilderness. Now, I want to look at this for just a few minutes tonight, if God will be our help, and just see the situation. And now the Bible tells us that God has moved in a miraculous way, and God's brought Moses and the children of Israel up out of Egypt. Amen? He done brought them up out of Egypt, and they've done offered them deliverance out of Egypt. And they come in their journey, and they as they're journeying along, and they come to this place, Elim, and all the congregation of Elim came unto the wilderness of Sin. Now I want to say tonight that there's always a place called sin in the wilderness. You'll always find a place called sin in the wilderness. When you get out in the wilderness, you'll find sin. You don't have to hunt long till you'll find it. Praise God, you don't have to hunt it. Praise God, it'll find you. Sin's always prominent. Sin's always wanting to hook you in. Sin's always wanting to get you over on its side. Sin's always wanting to lead you in the wrong direction. Sin's always wanting to get you under its spell. But I want to say tonight, on the authority of God, that we have a Lord and Savior that helps us overcome sin. Now I want to notice something tonight here. As I told you that there's always a place called sin in the wilderness. And now I want to say, praise God, it's the children of Israel that they come up out of Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea. God parts the waters, and right by the Bible says, Jesse, that they come across on what? Dry ground. Now I'm talking about the Lord parts the sea. He congeals the water, makes them stand up, praise God, and the children of Israel walk through on dry land. Amen. And it doesn't. It isn't just a little while, but praise God, it's about a month. Praise God, that sea, they end up in the wilderness of sin. I want to say, praise God, they didn't end up here right away. They didn't end up, hey, praise God, the first time you get out away from God just a little bit, praise God, you don't end up, praise God, way out there. But just a little bit at a time. And just a little, it took them about a month to end up in the wilderness of sin. What are you saying, pastors? This? I've said, praise God tonight, church folk, when you get away from God and you get away from godliness, it won't take very long till you end up in sin. You'll end up in a place you don't want to go, and you'll stay longer than you want to stay. Amen. Praise God. Let me show you an example of this. God gives us to this. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 30, God lays it. I was looking at this, and I thought, boy, God lays it out here pretty good. In Ezekiel chapter 30, in verse 15, the Bible says, "I will pour up my fury upon what? Sin. Because I will pour my fury upon sin." Now get this, the strength of Egypt. Now Egypt is the top of the world, and he says, "I'll pour out my fury upon sin," which is the strength of Egypt. What's the strength of the world? The strength of the world is sin. Amen. Who's the prince and power of this present world? The devil. Amen. Makes it pretty clear, don't it? Amen. Glory to God. But now listen. He said, "I will pour out my fury upon sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of no." Now, ain't it amazing? I got to thinking on that. Ain't it amazing, praise God, when you ask people, ain't you getting a little away from God? Ain't you going a little bit in the wrong direction? Oh, no, preacher. I ain't going the wrong direction. I know exactly where I'm at. You get out there in that wilderness, praise God, and they get out there in that place of no, and that's all they can say. Oh, no, I'm going okay. Oh, no, I think I'm all right. Oh, no, preacher, you just don't understand. Oh, no, you know, mom and daddy don't know what they're talking about. Oh, no, preacher, you just misunderstand the situation. Amen. It ain't very long, praise God, till they get out there in that no situation in the wilderness. Amen. Now, you know I'm telling it right. Amen. That fear. Now you have prayed me tonight. I done preached for this is the fourth time this weekend. Praise God, my throat's about gone. I just been, but praise God, I ain't something to be preached tonight. And we got, we're living in a world, in a society, praise God, and we think we can run off in the wilderness away from God, and we can stay out there a little while, and everything will be okay. I want to tell you, praise God, there's destruction in the wilderness. The fury of God's in the wilderness. Praise God, there's destruction, praise God, in the wilderness. We better stay with God. We're living in the day and time, praise God. We better crawl up in His lap like a heavenly Father that He is, snuggle into His bosom, and hang on for dear life. Amen. We better be like old brother John. Praise God. Get up and climb up in his lap. Put our hand to his breast and listen to the heartbeat of God. Amen. Praise God. We get to where we can't hear that thumping heart of God. Praise God. We better get on our knees, cry out to God, and get close again. Praise God. You'll end up there in the wilderness of sin. The next thing you'll need saying is no. God will say, come on back. No. You better get it. No. You don't you think it's time? No. Amen. You say, preacher, that never happened to me. Praise God, the devil's done got you deceived. Amen. He's done got you see. He's done got you where he wants you. You better be, hey, praise God, I wouldn't even wait. I'd come hit this altar. I say, Lord, help me. Amen. Not to be deceived, praise God, not to realize I'm nothing of my own, praise God, but I need the Lord tonight. I need the touch of God. I need the Holy Ghost of God to guide me and lead me, praise God, all the way to the end of the way. I need help tonight, praise God. I don't know about you, I need it. Amen. I need it every day. Praise God, if I take my eyes off the Lord for just a few minutes, praise God, the devil tries to blindside me. Amen. Next thing you know, he'll be saying, where's your God at? Some little situation come up, and old devil say, where's the Lord at now? Where's your help? Amen. I'm like old David, my help is in the Lord. Amen. That's what I tell. I say, look, between Beak and Bill, say, my help's in the Lord. Amen. He gives me my strength. My strength comes from the throne of grace. Praise the Lord. And it's renewed every day. Amen. New every morning, Brother Bill. I don't want for it because God's got it there every day. He said, I'll cut off the multitude of no. Amen. So the Bible tells us here that he said, I'll pour out my fury on sin. And the strength of, that sin is the strength of Egypt or the world. Amen. So can you just see this pictured? I mean, boy, it fits right with where we're at today. Sin is rampant everywhere. Homosexuality, sodomy, praise God, it's just on every door. People are saying, well, it's okay. I can live in this lifestyle and it's all right. Praise God, it's not all right. Amen. We're living in a wicked time, praise God, when our children are killing other children. Praise God, and the world don't see nothing wrong with that. I want to say, praise God, it's wrong. We're instilling things in our people. Why? Because we're in a wilderness of sin. We've come to that place of no, and we don't accept nothing that God's got to say. Amen. We need to come to a place and a realization, amen, tonight, that it's not, praise God, it's the wilderness, praise God, it's destroying our people. It's the wilderness. It's being in the wilderness away from God. We've got a country now, a nation. They said they basically voted to leave God out. I heard it in my own ears. Voted 3 or 4 times and it was still nay. Leave God out. We don't want God in it. And people turn around and vote for that bunch. They ain't Christians. They ain't godly people. You know, preacher, I voted that way. Well, you need to be saved. You need touch of God. Amen. You need to, yeah, like Brother Bill said, you need to repent, ask God to forgive you your sins, come in your heart. Because if you vote for sodomy and you vote for abortion, you vote for killing babies, you vote for a taking life, praise God. The Bible says, and in the Word of God, in the commandments, thou shalt not kill. Amen. Amen. And if we stand for that, what we're doing, we're saying, no, God, we don't believe your word. We're going our way. They're in the wilderness. The wilderness of sin. They're giving strength to the world. Amen. They're contributing their strength to the world. You know what they're doing? They're saying, Judge Jesse, they're saying, I'm on the devil's side. Amen. Amen. You look at me and say, well, I don't like that preacher. Well, that's all right. Take it up with God because he's the one made the rules. Amen. I'm just preaching what God said. Praise God, you're either on his side or you're against him. Praise God, you're either out in the wilderness, praise God, or you're walking with God. Now, I know we got a bunch today, praise God, that said, well, preacher, if we could just get rid of these guns, it would all be better. Really? You think so? Let me give you some statistics. I wrote them down, put them in my Bible, the back of my Bible. Amen? Now, Jesus warns of coming conflict in this world. But I want to say, now I don't have the statistics for 2012 because they ain't come out yet. But I've got some statistics for 2011. They're talking about banning these assault rifles. In 2011, there was 323 deaths by assault rifles. And that's accounting all deaths. Even some of them were accidental. Amen? 323 deaths. Ooh, I believe that's what's taking over our nation. Really? Well, it says in 2011 there was 496 deaths caused by intentionally beating somebody to death with a claw hammer. We need to ban them claw hammers because they're more wicked than the assault rifles. But now, wait a minute now. You ladies are going to have to get rid of all your kitchen knives because in 2011 it was 650 deaths with kitchen knives. So we're going to have to ban all the kitchen knives. Amen? We got to get rid of every one of them. Amen? But I want to say they was, in 2011, they was 12,000, over 12,000 killings, deaths by drunk drivers. Are we going to ban the alcohol? Are we going to take the drunks off the road? I don't think so. Amen? It'll never happen. Amen? In 2011, it was over 195,000 deaths by malpractice. Are we going to get rid of the doctors? Huh? Are we going to get rid of all the 195,000 of them, wretch? They made mistakes. We got to get rid of them. They're what's killing off our people. And we tell you what's killing off our people? They're in the wilderness of sin. Amen. Amen. We got to bring them out of the sin, praise God. Out of the wilderness, praise God, so that they can be delivered. Amen. It ain't the assault rifles. It ain't the claw hammers. It ain't the kitchen knives. It ain't the drunks, praise God. It's sin that's killing our people. Amen. Sin is destroying our people. Amen. It's sin in your life, sin in my life, sin in, praise God, in our people's sin, and they're not getting right. So what do you do, preacher? So we come out of the wilderness of sin. Now the Bible said it in verse 2 of Exodus over there, said that they was a group, a whole bunch of people, the whole congregation began to murmur against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. You know the next thing they do in the wilderness? Godly leadership is denied and rejected in the wilderness. We forget about godly wilderness. Hey, you forget about godly leadership when you get in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to get on your toes now. Amen. You get out there in the wilderness, praise God, and you get away from the Lord, and you get away doing things that you shouldn't do. Who's the last person you want to hear knocking on your door? It's old preacher Jeff and brother Bill. Amen. The last person you want to see in this world is the man of God and some old deacon. Huh? Because they're going to come to you and they're going to tell you that they love you and encourage you to quit what you're doing and go in the right way. And boy, it makes them puff up, makes them mad. And boy, I tell you, they ought to humble them, they'll hit their knees and cry, say, oh, thank you, Lord, that somebody loves me enough to tell me. Amen. Them people murmuring and complaining against Moses and Aaron, and they was trying to lead them in a godly way, praise God, trying to bring them out of the wilderness, praise God, but they begin to murmur and complain. Amen. You murmur and complain when you get in the wilderness. Amen. But in the wilderness, praise God, we try to tell you what's right from the Word of God because we don't want to see you go through the pain. In Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 16, the Bible says, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain. Did you get that? Sin shall have great pain. Sin, do you know sin causes pain? Did you know there's a reaction for every action we have? Do you know there's a consequence for everything that we do? And it's that pain of sin, praise God, that is that penalty for sin. It's a pain when we because of sin. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about all that. Let me just show you something. Lord, I don't know which way to go with that. I'm just minding the Lord tonight. In Romans chapter 1, Bible says, verse 20, the last part, said, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What kind of world are we living in today? He said, we're going to stand without excuse because we've denied and rejected God. We've pushed Him away. We said, we don't need You. And we begin to love one, go after our own lust, and we begin to love the little critters more than we love God. Amen? Amen? We love the little critters more than we do God. We love the little critters more than we love our own children, our own family. God ain't in that. I love little critters like everybody else. But praise God, I don't love them more than my wife. I don't love them more than my children. Praise God. Why? Because I know what God says. He said we're to love God, the Creator, and love those, praise God, that He's given us. Amen. Everything else is extra. He says, for this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. Amen. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of a woman burned in lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. He said, praise God, because of sin. Praise God, because of sin, we have the pain that comes with sin. Amen. But praise be to God. You say, well, preacher, how did I get out of that? By just loving the Lord, following Jesus. And he goes on, verse 28, he says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now get this, that's not that they didn't have the knowledge of God. They had the knowledge of God, but they didn't want to retain. They didn't like even the thought of retaining God in their knowledge. Why? Because He convicted their hearts. He showed them what was right. He tried to compel upon to do right. He tried to show them His love. And they rebelled. They said, we don't want You, God. And they shoved Him away. They rebuked God to His face. And God said He turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Amen? When it would have been easier, more convenient, praise God, to just stay men with women and women with men, praise God, and do that's right, have natural lives, praise God. They chose to go the other way. Why? It's rebellion against God. It's living in the wilderness and liking it. We got too many people that's living in the wilderness and liking it. Amen. It's time to get out of the wilderness. Praise the Lord. But he said there was a godly leadership was defiled in the wilderness. So we don't want no godly leadership. We want to do our own thing. Amen. See people that they get caught up in this drugs and alcoholism and stuff like that, and you go to talk to them. Believe me, I've talked to a bunch of them. I sit in hospitals and them a shaking and a quivering and jerking all over from DTs, and praise God, trying to talk to them. And they're saying, please, preacher, hold squeezing your hand until it feels like the blood's going to run out of it. Say, preacher, please pray for me. I need help. And you pray and you agonize with them and you stay with them and you help them through it. And the first thing they do when they get able to go, get out of the hospital, you know where they go? They run right back into the wilderness of sin. They run right back into wilderness sin. And you know good and well when you're talking to them that they ain't got what it takes. They haven't accepted Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to go with God. Amen. And you wonder, and as you stand there with them, you weep and you agonize with them, you say, is this one been given over to a reprobate mind? Is this one beyond help? Is this the one beyond bringing back? And it breaks your heart. Man, you weep and you cry and you wonder why. Why? Because they despise and they reject godly leadership. Amen. But not only is there always a place of sin in the wilderness, not only is there godly leadership defied in the wilderness, but the wilderness is a place where if you ain't very careful, you'll lose sight of God's goal for your life. Amen. If you ain't very careful, you'll lose sight of what God's goal is for your life. Did you get that? God's goal for your life. In Exodus here, he says that God come down. He heard the pleas of his people by reason of their taskmasters. Praise God, for 430 years. Praise God. He said, hey, listen, it's enough. He said, go down there and you bring out my people. He said, you bring my people out. And praise God, you bring them out of that place called sin, that type of the world. He said, you bring them out of the world. Amen. But they lost track of their goal. See, their track of their goal, the object of their goal was deliverance. What the whole object of coming out of the wilderness, praise God, is deliverance. Amen. The whole purpose of getting out of the wilderness, amen, the whole purpose of coming to the Lord, bowing your head, saying, Lord, forgive me, old sinner, help me, cleanse me, make me whole, is to get out of the wilderness, to get into a place of deliverance. Amen. So what God's got for us tonight, praise God, is not a wilderness adventure, not a wilderness for a home, but praise God, He's got deliverance on the other side. But it just depends on which side we're leaning to the most. It's what has the control over us. Amen. You get to leaning towards God's side. You get among the Holy Ghost, godly people. We told a fellow a while ago, praise God, if you're going to have friends, if you're going to do right, you've got to get with godly folk. You've got to get with people that love the Lord. You got people, you can't do right if you're not with people that's trying to do right. Amen. You know the old saying, you run with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody knows what fleas are. They ain't part of this sin-cursed world where you got those things. The chicks and the tiggers. Amen. They never got over that one. Ticks and chiggers. Praise God. But if you run, how do you have delivered? You separate yourself from the type of people that you used to run with. I mean, it's plain and simple. You change the Lord that you're serving. You're not serving, running with the devil. So why would you run with the devil's crowd? They're in the wilderness. You say, preacher, I'm going to go in the wilderness and I'm going to bring them out. No, you won't. They'll drag you off in the wilderness. They'll get you down there so far, you won't know how to get back. Right. Amen. You ask some of these people that's been there. They'll tell you. The devil will drag you out and praise God and you won't be able to get back. Right. Amen. Amen. Let some old saint of God gets a burden for you, begins to cry out on your behalf. Boy, if you've been down there in the wilderness, praise God, you thank God for those times that him good old saints of God, where you know that they was a praying for you, agonizing over you, amen, lifting your name up to Jesus, said, Lord, please deliver him. Amen. Why? Because they's wanting you to come out of the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you lose your sight of your goal in the wilderness. I wonder what kind of goal have you set for yourself? See, this is where the rubber meets the road. What kind of goal is you set for you? I know you say, well, preacher, it's my goal to be in the wilderness. So then it's your goal to be on the side of Jesus. Amen. It's to have that deliverance. So how do you get deliverance? You cry out and you talk to the Lord and you stay close to Him. You have to stay over on His side. When you feel yourself beginning to slip over on the other side, praise God, you got to get back over. You got to cry out and you got to hit your knees. You got to say, Lord, please help me. Deliver me. Keep me safe. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a safe place in the Lord. Amen. Amen. You say, how do you know? I'm going to show you in a minute. Praise God. But you'll lose sight of your goal God's go for you in the wilderness. Amen. But I want to say, praise God. I'm not going to preach too long because I know everybody's tired. But I want to say, praise God, there's a promise. There's a promise on the other side of the wilderness. There's a promised land on the other side of the wilderness. You got, in order to get to the promised land, you got to come out of the wilderness. Amen. If you're going to get out, praise God. If you're going to get help, if you're going to find it, praise God, you got to get out of the wilderness. There's no promised land in the wilderness. There's no promised land. There's just the old saying? Just smoke and mirrors. The devil makes it look pretty. And he puts some things up there to show you, make you think that everything's all warm and fuzzy. But it's just smoke and mirrors, and it's fleeting, it's gone. It's just like a vapor, praise God. You get into it and you think it's really going good, and boom, it's gone, and you're there and you're saying, what happened? Where am I at? What do I do now? But I want to say, praise God, there's a promised land beyond the wilderness. Amen. Bible says there's a hope that maketh not ashamed on the other side of the wilderness. That hope's in Christ Jesus the Lord. It's on the other side of the wilderness. Amen. It's on a place that's outside of the wilderness. It's that blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus. He is our hope of glory. He is that hope of that promised land. He is that hope of deliverance, praise God, out of this old world, through the wilderness, into the safe place where we'll be with God. Amen. There's hope, praise God, in the promised land. There's hope in that land beyond the wilderness. Not only is there hope, but there's assurance. I wonder, do you have assurance tonight of your salvation? See, that's a lot of the reason that there's so many people in the wilderness. It's because they just don't have no assurance of their salvation. They can't say for a certainty that they've been born again and that heaven will be their home. And they're just kind of caught in limbo between the wilderness and that promised land. God help, we ain't supposed to be there. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Let me just show you right quickly tonight. He said there's some blessed assurance of the Lord. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 13, the Bible says this. Well, let me just go back up to 10 and just read you from 10 now. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that life is out in the wilderness. No, he said that life is in his Son. What does that tell me and you? There's no life in the wilderness. We have to come out of the wilderness and head for the promised land. Amen. Amen. We got to head for the promised land. Where's the promised land? Promised land's where the life is. Where's the life? Who's the life? It's Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 12, said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Jesus living in your heart? Do you love him today? I mean, love him with all your heart. Is he who you call on when you have problems? Is he who you talk to, praise God, because you love him? Is he the one that you go to, praise God, before you go to bed, and when you get up and you praise, you honor, and you give glory? Because you love him. Verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now listen to this. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Did you get that? That ye may know that you have eternal life. That ye may know that you have eternal life. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Amen. Amen. That you know, praise God. It's a know-so salvation. You have a relationship with Christ Jesus. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. That's assurance. That's assurance. He said, out of the wilderness, said, there's a place in the promised land that gives you assurance. Amen. Not only does it give you hope, but it gives you assurance. Praise the Lord. But not only does it give you that assurance, but it also gives you peace. I wonder how many people there are that's out there in the wilderness tonight, and praise God, they're longing, they're desiring peace, and it can't be found. They're hunting for peace. They're desiring peace. And Bible says in the book of John chapter 14, in verse 27, the Bible says, Jesus is talking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God said, hey, listen, said you're looking for peace. Jesus said, I will give you peace. Peace is on the other side of the wilderness. Peace is in the promised land. Amen. That land of promise, praise God. That place called heaven. Bless God. But it's not only a peace for tomorrow, it's a peace for today. See, there's so many people looking for a hope and assurance and peace today. But they're trying to find it in the wilderness. Newsflash, it's not there. You won't find it. You'll never see. Hey, you might see a little glimpse and you might think that's what it is. But see, that's how the devil's deceiving. He'll give you just a little glimpse of hope. And he'll give you just a little glimpse of assurance that everything's okay. And he'll give you just a little taste of peace where you think everything's all right. But you can't ever have them all together. Amen? But Jesus says, praise God, I can give you all of it right now. He said, if you come out of the wilderness, said you can have all that now. Praise the Lord. Not only does he say give hope and assurance and peace, but he said he'll give us rest. Now, you know God wants us to be a people of rest. I don't know about you, but I get tired. Amen? I do. I work full-time job, pastor church, and run a whole lot. And sometimes I just get tired. I get wore out. Amen? And I'm looking, I like some rest every now and then. Amen? Don't you? And God said, praise God, if you get out of the wilderness, praise God, you can get some rest. You know where I get my rest? Well, Jesse, I go out there in my little old study all by myself, and I pick up my blessed old Bible. And I begin to talk to Jesus. I begin to read and I begin to pray. And boy, you know what? I begin to get rest. I get rest. I begin to get encouragement. I begin to get peace. I begin to get assurance. And praise God, but I get just loaded up with hope. Amen. Why? Because I'm not going to the wilderness to get it. Amen. I'm looking toward the promised land. But he said he'll give us that peace, that rest. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, he said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Do you ever fear? You ever feel like you're just coming up just a little bit short of the rest of God? Amen. Where he'd want you to be, where you could relax and be comforted. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Did you get that? He said, hey, the same gospel's preached to those that's headed for the promised land and those that are out in the wilderness, but praise God, there was a whole bunch that didn't hear it. And when they heard it, they didn't believe it in faith. They didn't have faith to believe it. He said, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Amen. He said, hey, there's a rest been promised along with the peace that's in Christ Jesus. There's a rest been promised from the foundation of the world. Hey, last time I looked, you can't go back no further than that. What is he saying? That rest, praise God, has always been there for us. While we were out dilly-dallying in the wilderness, the rest was there. In verse 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Who gets the rest? God's people. Amen. God's people are the one that gets to rest. When you come out of the wilderness and you head for the promised land. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm headed for the promised land. I'm headed for that place that God has given me, that place that God has promised me. I'll come out of the wilderness of sin. Amen. Hey, it's a place. It's easy to get snookered into that. These old fleshly lusts and desires, praise God, to make your hands, your minds, your eyes do things you oughtn't to do. But praise God, God brought me out of that one day. And he showed me the right path in the right way. And praise God, I got a glimpse of the promised land. Amen. And I ain't giving that up for nothing. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. Glory to God. I'm looking for Jesus to come. And if He don't come, praise God, and He holds off, praise God, one of these days I'll see Him in glory. Amen. I told you, when they roll my old carcass up here and say, oh, poor old Jeff's dead, don't you believe it? Because I'll be living alive, large, with my Lord. Amen. Amen. I'll just begun to live. Praise God. Why? Because I'm headed for the promised land. I've come out of the wilderness. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight? Where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend most of your time? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, where does your mind take you most of the time? Where does your body take you a lot of the time? Are you in the wilderness? Spend a lot of time in the wilderness? Are you spending time in the promised land? Spending time with the Lord? Looking for better things and better days? Where are you at tonight? Where are you at?